Daniel chapter 7. Daniel is going to have another amazing dream from the Lord. And this dream will be a second illustration of the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had in chapter 2. Daniel was such a special friend of God. He lived a very uncomfortable life in order to serve God. He was a eunuch. He was a foreigner in a pagan land. He had to serve under pagan kings. His life was in danger sometimes. He was greatly hated. He never had a normal life with a family, but he always trusted the Lord through everything. So the Lord told him things. And that's what you do when you have a good friend, is you tell them things. And that's why the Lord told Daniel all the history of the world from the Babylonian Empire, which Daniel was living in, until the birth of Christ and the second coming of Christ, as well as the millennial kingdom. Verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel hath seen a dream, and the visions of his head on his bed. Then the dream he hath written, the chief of the things he hath said. In the last chapter, it left off when Darius was king, and he was the king after Belshazzar. But in chapter 7, it's going back in time to when Belshazzar was king, and that was the second king that Daniel served under. It was during the first year of Belshazzar's reign, and this is when Daniel had this dream at night, and when he woke up, he wrote it down. 2. Answered hath Daniel and said, I was seen in my vision by night, and lo, the four winds of the heavens are coming forth to the great sea. The great sea is the Mediterranean Sea that touches Israel. And according to the Bible, Israel is really the center of the world. 3. And four great beasts are coming up from the sea, diverse one from another. These beasts are rising up around the Mediterranean, and all of the greatest empires that ever existed rose up around the Mediterranean. So this is very accurate. Babylon was the first empire that controlled the entire world. There have been other empires, but they didn't control the entire world like Babylon, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans. So we're only going to talk about the greatest empires. 4. The first is like a lion, and it hath an eagle's wings. I was seen till that its wings have been plucked, and it hath been lifted up from the earth, and on feet as a man it hath been caused to stand, and a heart of man is given to it. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar went insane for 7 years, and he grew feathers and claws just like a lion with wings? And this was God mocking Nebuchadnezzar, because in Babylon, they prided themselves on being represented as a lion with wings, which represents great strength and great efficiency in war. Lions and eagles easily attack and conquer. So Nebuchadnezzar fancied himself as a king with the feet of a lion and the tail of a lion and the wings of an eagle. And there's Babylonian art showing this. This first beast that Daniel sees rising up around the Mediterranean is Babylon, and it had the heart of a man, because at the head of the empire is the greatest king, Nebuchadnezzar. 5. And lo, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and to the same authority it hath been raised, and 3 ribs are in its mouth, between its teeth, and thus they are saying to it, Rise, consume much flesh. This second beast is a bear that is consuming a lot of flesh, meaning this bear is killing a lot of people. Today, the false prophets claim that this bear is Russia because Russia has the symbol of a bear. That's part of the modern day evangelical and word of faith cult against Russia. They claim that Russia is the great Antichrist kingdom, and that Russia does everything bad that happens. But if we look at history, this bear is the Medo-Persian Empire. Most historians call it the Persian Empire because the Persians ended up taking more control than the Medes did. Now, Darius was a Mede, but when King Cyrus became king of Persia later on, and that is, I believe, the fourth king that Daniel served under, Cyrus gave most of the control of the kingdom to the Persians. So it says that this bear is kind of leaning on one side. One side is raised higher than the other. And that's because the Persians had more control in this second empire than the Medes did. So although it was the Medo-Persian Empire, it ended up that the Persians were the ones in major control, not the Medes. This bear is eating a lot of people, and it has three ribs in its mouth. When the Persian Empire took over the Babylonian Empire, it had to conquer Babylon, Egypt, and Lydia. Those were the three major places that it had to conquer in order to become the next great empire. The Bible says the bear was the second animal because it was the second empire. It had three ribs in its mouth, and those ribs represent Egypt, Babylon, and Lydia. The Persians killed a lot of people in order to become the new world power. 6. After this I was seen, and lo, another like a leopard, and it hath four wings of a fowl on its back, and four heads hath the beast, and dominion is given to it. The third empire is represented by a leopard with four heads and four wings. Leopards are fast-running animals. Alexander the Great, who ruled over Greece, which was the third great empire, he conquered land very fast. So that's why this empire is represented as a leopard. Now, with each successive empire, each new empire is less powerful than the empire before. So the Babylonians were the most powerful empire ever in world history. And then the second empire of the Medes and Persians was less powerful than the Babylonians. And the third empire of the Greeks was less powerful than the Persians and the Medes. Each of these animals is kind of also getting less powerful too, because a lion with wings would have more power than a regular bear, and a bear would have more power than a little cheetah. Even though a lion with wings doesn't exist, if it did exist, that would be a pretty powerful animal. Each successive animal is showing that it has less strength than the animal before. And in chapter 2, when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream of the great statue, the head of the statue was gold, and that represented Babylon. The chest of the statue was silver, and that represented the Medo-Persian Empire. And then the midsection of the statue was brass, and that represented Greece. Chapter 7's vision of Daniel affirms Nebuchadnezzar's vision in chapter 2. The reason the leopard has four heads and four wings is because the Greek Empire was divided into four different regions. When Alexander the Great died, instead of giving the empire to a son, his son was too weak to rule over his empire, and eventually I believe his son was killed. But Alexander, in order to keep the empire going, he divided it between his four top generals. It was divided into four parts. And that's why we have four heads and four wings. 7. After this, I was seen in the visions of the night, and lo, a fourth beast, terrible and fearful, and exceedingly strong, and it hath iron teeth, very great. It hath consumed, yea, it doth break small, and the remnant with its teeth it hath trampled, and it is diverse from all the beasts that are before it, and it hath 10 horns. This last beast has iron teeth. It's very scary looking. It crushes and it breaks. And it has 10 horns. This last beast is very vicious and violent. And that is how the Roman Empire dominated the civilized world in its time. And the Roman Empire was still dominating nations, including Israel, when Jesus was born and when he was crucified on the cross. This last beast is the Roman Empire, but it has 10 heads. Going back to Daniel chapter 2 in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the legs were made of iron, and that represented the Roman Empire. It was less powerful than any of the world empires before it, but it ruled through sheer strength. Just as this beast has iron teeth, that empire was represented as having legs of iron in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. But under the legs were feet that were part iron and part clay. The final empire that will rule the world hasn't come yet, but it will have some of the Roman influence in it. And it will try to force people into its religion, but there will be a lot of resistors. And those will be Christians who are determined to follow Christ and not the Antichrist, because the Antichrist will set himself up as God. So the body of this beast is the Roman Empire, but the 10 horns that are on its head are the 10 toes of the future empire. So this last beast represents the Roman Empire and the future empire of the Antichrist. You might ask, how could Rome come alive again, or how could it be involved in the Antichrist kingdom? Well, Rome was never really conquered. It's existed all these years, but it morphed into a political religious state called the Vatican. And instead of having a Caesar, Rome is now ruled by popes. The Catholic Church is not Christian, and the Roman Catholics know they're not Christian. They'll tell you that to your face, that they are not Christians. Their God is the church itself, and they believe that the church saves them, and they have to obey the church. They have replaced the person, Christ, who is God, with an organized religious system that they call the one true church. And you can only be saved, according to them, if you belong to this one church. But the Bible doesn't teach that any church saves us. It doesn't teach that the Bible saves us. It teaches that we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ alone, and Jesus is God. So when the popes say that they're speaking for God or that they've heard from God, it actually is blasphemous. They are not the spokespeople of God, and they don't have any spiritual authority over men, and the Roman Church doesn't have any spiritual authority over men. Now, those 10 heads could also be 10 doctrines of demons, and there are doctrines of demons among many churches that are causing people to resist salvation because they fall into a demonic doctrine. But for now, we must know that the Roman Empire is going to return in a different way. The Antichrist will be connected to the Roman Church. He'll also be connected to Judaism and Islam, in my opinion, because the Antichrist would have to be both Jewish and Muslim and Catholic in order to be accepted by all three of those major religions. And it is possible to be Muslim and Jewish and Catholic all at the same time, because the Muslim and Jewish aspect only has to be biological, and the Catholic aspect only has to be religious. So you can be all three at once. And I believe the Antichrist will be all three, and then he will dominate the political world. But he won't be able to dominate everyone, because some people will resist him in the name of Jesus Christ. And that includes some Catholics. There will be Catholics who resist the Antichrist. Right now, technically, there's no empire controlling the world, but Rome, through the papacy, has its tentacles all over the world, and it does control how people all over the world vote and how they think and how they behave, because they're Roman Catholics and they all are allegiant to the Pope, no matter what country they live in. Rome still has much of the world under its thumbnail because of religion. We don't fully understand what each of the 10 toes represents yet, according to Daniel's dream. 8. And I was considering about the horns, and lo, another horn, a little one, hath come up between them, and three of the first horns have been eradicated from before it. And lo, eyes as the eyes of a man are in this horn, and a mouth speaking great things. In the Bible, horn always represents strength. These 10 toes, or 10 horns on the beast, all represent some political or temporal power. And there were 10 of them, but 3 of them were diminished and replaced by one that then ruled over the others. So if you lose 3 and you gain 1 out of 10, you're left with 8. So that means there are 7 other horns that weren't eliminated, and then there is one big horn that speaks for all of the rest. This mouth is speaking blasphemy. That would have to be the Antichrist proclaiming himself to be God. To date, no pope has ever claimed to be God. They only claim to be the mouthpiece of God, which isn't true. But it's not as blasphemous as saying that you are God. But the Antichrist will be that blasphemous. He will proclaim that he himself is God. As with all prophecy in the Bible, it's both historical and it's futuristic at the same time. Plus, it also teaches us about Christ and his gospel. This chapter 7, taking us all the way through history from Babylon until Jesus sets up his millennial kingdom. But at the same time, it's giving us a little snippet of the Antichrist in the end times. In the next chapter, it'll go into more detail about a little Antichrist who came before Jesus was born. And his name was Antiochus Epiphanes, and he also desecrated Jerusalem. We'll be reading about that in the next chapter. But when we learn about Antiochus Epiphanes, we'll realize that his life also was typology, or a foreshadowing of the future Antichrist. In this chapter 7, it's just talking about the future Antichrist, but in chapter 8, it'll talk about Antiochus Epiphanes and the future Antichrist. Since the Antichrist kingdom hasn't appeared yet, I'm not sure exactly what kingdoms or what kings the 10 toes represent. 9. I was seen till that thrones have been thrown down, and the Ancient of Days is seated. His garment is as snow is white, and the hair of his head is as pure wool. His throne, flames of fire, its wheels burning fire. Daniel is seeing those burning wheels that Ezekiel saw in the book of Ezekiel. These burning wheels apparently go wherever God's throne goes. 10. A flood of fire is proceeding and coming forth from before him. 1,000,000s do serve him, and a myriad of myriads before him do rise. The judge is seated, and the books have been opened. So he actually is seen beyond the millennial reign. He's seen Judgment Day, which is after the millennial reign and after Armageddon. Judgment Day is when all of us stand before the throne of God and when Satan and all of the demons are destroyed. Daniel says he sees 1,000,000s of people that are at the front of the Lord's throne. So those would be angels and high-ranking saints. And he sees myriads of myriads that rise up and stand before the Lord behind those people in the front. Myriads means tens of thousands. So he sees tens of thousands of people that rise up before the Lord. And that represents the people who will go to heaven. 10,000 times 10,000 is in the millions, so unfortunately there won't be billions. As the Lord said, very few people pass through the narrow gate, that is Christ. Even though billions have lived on earth, it will only be hundreds of millions who go to heaven. But it says that fire comes forth from the Lord, and we've seen this before in Ezekiel, Isaiah, and in other places in the Bible, that the Lord is represented by fire. He is a consuming fire. If we refuse him, we will be destroyed by the fire of his holiness. But if we obey him, then we will be purified in his fire. Daniel is an example of somebody who was purified in the fire. He went through times of testing and trial, but that only made his faith stronger. Is your faith stronger because of the things that you've been through? If so, that means that your life is getting purified in Jesus Christ. 11. I was seeing then because of the voice of the great words that the horn is speaking. I was seen till that the beast is slain, and his body hath been destroyed and given to the burning fire. In the book of Revelation, it says that Satan and his demons will go into fire forever. Here it's saying that the beast also is going to be destroyed in the fire of God, and the beast represents the Antichrist or his kingdom. 12. And the rest of the beasts have caused their dominion to pass away, and a prolongation in life is given to them till a season and a time. It says that the rest of the beasts lose power, but they're allowed to last for a time. That could represent that the other empires of the world were all dissolved, but people from those empires continued on. 13. I was seen in the visions of the night, and lo, with the clouds of the heavens, as a son of man was one coming, and unto the Ancient of Days he hath come, and before him they have brought him near. This one coming in the clouds is Jesus, and this sounds like the ascension of Jesus to the throne of the Father, and the Father is the Ancient of Days because he has always existed. The Son and the Father are one, just like your body, your soul, and your spirit are all you. You aren't three different people. Your body is you, your soul is you, and your spirit is you. The Father God is God. The Son of God is God. And the Spirit of God is God. It's all him. 14. And to him is given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all peoples, nations, and languages do serve him. His dominion is a dominion age during that passeth not away, and his kingdom that which is not destroyed. The kingdom of Christ, the Son, will last forever. 15. Pierced hath been my spirit, I, Daniel, in the midst of the sheath, and the visions of my head trouble me. The spirit of Daniel has been pierced as if a sword went through it. He loves the Lord so much, and he is learning a deep mystery of the Lord, which is the offer of salvation through Jesus Christ. And he's learning about the eternal reign of the Son of God. All of the patriarchs knew that God has a son. It's even recorded in Psalm chapter 30, verse 4. That God has a son. And there are many references to the right arm of God or the right hand of God in the Old Testament, which is a euphemism for a son. Daniel already knew that God has a son, but he's now learning world history and where that son will fit into world history and when his kingdom will come. So this is piercing Daniel's heart, just like when you're deeply in love with somebody and you feel like an arrow go through your heart. That's how Daniel felt about the Lord. 16. I have drawn near unto one of those standing, and the certainty I seek from him of all this. And he hath said to me, yea, the interpretation of the things he hath caused me to know. There's an angel in Daniel's dream that is explaining to him what all of these beasts and all of the vision is. 17. These great beasts that are four kings. They rise up from the earth. 18. And receive the kingdom do the saints of the Most High, and they strengthen the kingdom unto the age, even unto the age of the ages. The angel says that each beast represents a king, But in turn, each beast represents the kingdom that he controls. The first beast would be Nebuchadnezzar, who controlled Babylon. The second beast would be probably Cyrus, who controlled Persia. The third beast would be Alexander the Great, who controlled the Greek Empire. And the fourth beast would be one of the great Caesars of Rome. And it says the saints are the ones who are going to receive the eternal kingdom of Christ. Being a saint simply means that you are saved by the blood of Jesus. You listen to his voice and you obey his commands. If that's you, you're a saint. 19. Then I wished for certainty concerning the fourth beast that was diverse from them all, fearful exceedingly, its teeth iron and its nails of brass. It hath devoured, it doth break small, and the remnant with its feet it hath trampled. This is the beast that represents the Roman Empire. It's not a beast that Daniel can describe because it doesn't look like an elephant, it doesn't look like a wolf. He doesn't know what it is. All he knows is that it's strong, it tramples and it destroys, and it has iron teeth and 10 horns. That's all he knows. 20. And concerning the 10 horns that are in its head, and of the other that came up, and before which 3 have fallen, even of that horn that hath eyes and a mouth speaking great things, and whose appearance is great above its companions. Daniel is the most interested to know what this fourth beast represents because it's so unusual. 21. I was seen, and this horn is making war with the saints and hath prevailed over them. This is the Antichrist because he declares war on the saints. Antiochus Epiphanes made war with the Israelites, and not every Israelite is a saint. But the Antichrist will make war with the saints, and those are all of us who follow Christ. 22. Till that the Ancient of Days hath come, and judgment is given to the saints of the Most High, and the time hath come, and the saints have strengthened the kingdom. Now that's talking about the millennial reign. The great tribulation in which the saints are persecuted takes place before the millennial reign of Christ, which lasts for 1,000 years, in which the saints rule with Christ and judge the entire world with Christ. Now, by judgment, it doesn't mean judgment day. It just means that they settle disputes so that there is no wars for 1,000 years. They settle any disputes between nations or kingdoms or peoples. 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast is the fourth kingdom in the earth, that is diverse from all kingdoms, and it consumeth all the earth, and treadeth it down, and breaketh it small. That's the Roman Empire, and it's talking about the civilized world. There were Indians in Brazil who didn't know anything about the Roman Empire, but this is talking about the civilized world. 24. And the 10 horns out of the kingdom are 10 kings. They rise, and another doth rise after them, and it is diverse from the former, and 3 kings it humbleth. So now we're talking about the 10 toes again, and this is the kingdom of the Antichrist. There will be 10 kings in the end times, and some people speculate that it's the 10 Euro nations, but I'm not so certain about that. I don't really know what 10 nations it is or what 10 kings it is. But 3 of those nations or kings will be destroyed, and 1 will rise up in their place, and that 1 will be the Antichrist, and he will control the other 7 nations or kings. 25. And words as an adversary of the Most High it doth speak, and the saints of the Most High it doth wear out, and it hopeth to change seasons and law, and they are given into its hand, till a time and times and a division of a time. The Lord is going to allow the Antichrist to rule for 3.5 years. That's what 1 time plus 2 times plus half a time is. It's 3.5 years. And that will be the time of the great tribulation, and the Antichrist will wear out the saints because he'll tell them that they can't buy, trade, or sell without his mark. Therefore, they won't be able to feed their children, pay their mortgage, they won't be able to pay taxes, and they will become enemies of the state, and they'll have to run and hide. And a lot of them are going to lose custody of their children because they'll be called negligent parents because they're not feeding their kids. They'll lose custody, they'll go to jail, and some of them will just have to hide to save their lives. 26. And the judge is seated, and its dominion they cause to pass away, to cut off and to destroy unto the end. Now again, it's talking about the millennial reign of Christ, which comes after the great tribulation. 27. And the kingdom and the dominion, even the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heavens, is given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is a kingdom age during, and all dominions do serve and obey him. Now this is the rock that fell from heaven and crushed the 10 toes of the statue in chapter 2, and then after that all of the other kingdoms were also crumbled. Even though the Greek Empire doesn't exist anymore, we still have the memory of it and the impact of it. Same thing with the Babylonian Empire and the Persian Empire and the Roman Empire. But when the Antichrist's empire crumbles under the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, then all past empires, their memory will be erased, because what Jesus does on earth during that 1,000-year millennial reign will very literally wipe out all of the past history. Whatever the Romans did and the Greeks did and the Persians and the Babylonians did won't have any effect on the world after Christ sets up his reign. He won't be subject to the circumstances that the world is left in after those other empires fall. Everything's going to be new and restored. 28. Hitherto is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, greatly do my thoughts trouble me, and my countenance is changed on me, and the matter in my heart I have kept. Daniel was really moved and troubled by all of this vision. It put a huge weight on him, but it also exhilarated him at the same time, because he was learning about the coming of Jesus Christ, both the first coming during Rome's empire and the second coming, which would be after the Antichrist falls and is destroyed. So Daniel was learning about the glories of Jesus Christ and what he's going to do in this world in the future. To date, most of Daniel's vision has already occurred through the so-called end of the Roman Empire. But the Roman Empire still has its tentacles all over the world through the state of Rome. That concludes Daniel chapter 7, and in the next chapter, we'll go into a little more detail regarding the future events that Daniel saw in his visions.